Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Where are you, Drew?
I'm in Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah. What are you doing over there?
I gave a forum, a symposium to the Washington interns on Capitol Hill. It was really cool on Capitol Hill in the big room that was used for the Watergate hearings. And it was with the Independent Women's Forum. We talked about everything.
Independent cool. Women's Forum?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's something you'd love.
What kind of maneuver is that?
Yeah.
Do they pay you?
Yeah, I believe so.
Good times. Good times. You know, you believe so.
Well, actually,
A little bit sketchy on that.
I actually was sketchy. My wife said no. I said, oh, I think I am.
And your wife spoke to her today.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go? You get your trip all set up?
Listen, this air travel business.
Yeah.
It's driving me nuts. I'm trying to go to Europe for the first time in my life in about 2 months. And go there and watch this, like, a historic car race in England. Sounds like a good time. And your old lady called me today, Drew. Drew's wife is a travel agent. And she called and told me the best she could do is Virgin Business Class, $4,500 a ticket.
I told you there was some sort of budget problem. And you said, there's no budget. It costs what it costs. Just tell her to buy the ticket.
Listen, Cole.
Those were your words.
Is that really how it went down in your mind? Because you were talking about the hotel.
Well, I knew it was. I didn't know it was not the hotel. I knew there was some sort of budget problem.
Okay, but Drew, does it really go down that way in your mind? Or are you lying, or do you lie to yourself? How does it work? I'm always curious.
I remember saying something about your budget that wasn't fitting. That's all I knew.
Yeah, but you came in and you were talking to me about the hotel room. All and right. I told you what I told her about the hotel room.
All right.
Let's say $4,500 a ticket. $4,500 a ticket for this ain't first class, by the way.
Business.
Yeah. I mean, first is like $9,000. And here's the other thing too with the airlines. They're not accepting frequent flyer miles. What is that? What do you mean you're not accepting frequent flyer miles? How does that go? It drives me nuts when people offer a bunch of stuff and then they start making a bunch of rules and regulations. What do you mean you're not offering? I have them. You get them. You don't get to tell me when you get them and when you don't get them. How about I've flown to goddamn New York on your airline 3,500 times in the last 6 years. What if I just say, oh, you know what? I'm not paying during this pay period. Oh, you got me during the fall book. Yeah, bad news. You know, from October, I don't know if my publicist spoke to you, but from September and October, I don't pay to fly east. Sorry. What is that? They don't accept frequent flyer miles during this time period or for those flights? Do you only have to go places you don't want to go for them to accept the mileage?
Weren't you going to go with a group of your jackhole friends, too?
Well, see, this is the problem, because as you know, Drew, literally, I'm a millionaire.
Oh, you literally forget that.
Literally. So, you know, the $4,500, although it sounds fairly expensive to me, still financially doable, but my friends, it kind of cancels the trip for. Now, I guess they could fly coach and we could sit somewhere apart or whatever, but what about these things when you open the newspaper and you find out that round trip from L.A. to Charles de Gaulle for $699? How does that work? What goes on in this travel world that I don't know about? How does any of this work? How come you can get on the internet and find yourself a round-trip ticket to the Netherlands for $800, but it's $4,500 for me to get to England? Do you have any idea, any answers to these questions?
Certain seats get certain prices.
Okay, let me write this down. Slow down.
Certain seats. Limited supplies of certain seats.
I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy fluctuation. You know what I mean? And the fact, And listen, I don't even mind paying the $4,500. It's just knowing that there's some guy sitting 50 feet behind me who got this thing off Expedia for $377 is going to drive me nuts. And if I hear that puss start complaining about, oh, look at them up there in the business class.
No, better yet.
I'll take a goddamn fire extinguisher to his head right in the hallway. I'll strangle him with that curtain that separates us.
Or yeah, he'll get the last chicken.
Oh, la-di-da. Look at them. They get free drinks. Well, I pay an extra $4,000. That's why I get the free drinks. All right. We're going to have to work this out, Drew.
How was last night, by the way?
Now, Bruce was a mess. The band was drunk. It was disaster. Disaster.
What? What happened?
Disaster.
No.
Bruce was on my last nerve last night.
What?
He got on my last nerve.
Oh, my God. I can just imagine what that means.
I really had to give him a talking to.
What was the problem?
He's very passive aggressive, that Bruce.
Oh.
I can't even relive it because I'm going through too much stress right now, Drew. But
oh, really?
Off the air, I'll tell you all about Bruce.
Okay. All right. Yes, Your Highness.
Okay.
You okay, sweet thing? All right. Relax. Here we go. We'll take our calls, right? Oh, no.
You know what?
What?
You know who I punched up first?
That's some other call.
I punched up. You know how we decide who we talk to, everybody, is I have a screen, a computer screen in here, which is has all the calls listed on it, and Drew puts a little Post-it sticker next to the call he wants to take. And you know which one I punched up?
The one the sticker was left over from last night.
The one from last night.
Oh, that's good. Well, I just pulled somebody else up. This is Jen from Chicago.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
All right, actually I have a proposal and a question for you.
Proposal?
Proposal, yeah.
This is it. We've never had a proposal, Adam.
Really?
Go ahead.
Well, anyway, Adam, the proposal's for you. Okay, now, everyone knows you're literally a millionaire, and I was wondering if you'd like to finance my band.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to get my deadbeat buddies to England in a month and a half. $4,500. What's the name of your band?
Green Parody.
Yeah, why is that? Why is it called Green Parody?
I don't know.
Okay.
Just, right. You know, whatever.
What kind of music do you play?
It's all good. Death metal, punk, grunge, that type.
What are some of the names of your songs?
Names of the songs? We got Svoo, Little Mikey, Punk Kid.
Svoo?
Svoo, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I sat in the back of a chair in detention.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well,
what the hell?
Yeah. All right. I'm sure you guys are perfectly capable, and I'm sure you'll make your money without my backing.
Yeah, but Adam, you're like God. I mean...
Yeah, that's true, but you're asking God for a few bucks to buy an amp?
I don't need an amp. We need a recording.
Yeah, just start chanting for something. It'll happen.
All right. Anyways, the question is... let me see. I was wondering which would be worse if it got infected, eyebrow piercing or a tongue piercing?
Tongue, it would be worse, right?
Because,
there's actually been documented cases now of brain abscesses extending from infections in the tongue. And because of the proximity of the brain, proximity of the airway, it can really be a disaster. On the other hand, the eyebrow is actually more likely to reject and have a real intense local reaction to it.
Could you, die if you got the tongue piercing and it, became all bloated and stuff?
Yeah, you can obstruct your airway and you could die, and you can also die from these infections in the brain. And I think your question is valid because the eye also, you know, the orbit is a easy area for infection to sort of to spread. And it spreads right back into the brain very quickly. But I've never seen anything like that from an eyebrow piercing.
Yeah. Well, then what would they put down? What would the coroner put down? He died while posing. What would they put down on that coroner's report?
Died
being a retard?
A poser.
Yes. How would that go? Yeah. Drew, have you ever made one of those out?
A death certificate?
Yeah.
Ever made one?
Yeah.
About 2 a week.
About 2 a week?
Yeah.
Now, are you disappointed when you only make one, or you figure you'll make three next week?
That's on average about 2 a week.
Really? 2 a week?
Yeah, probably.
Good times. And what do you write down?
Well, here's the craziness about death certificates that people don't realize is that they will only, quote, accept certain things. I mean, if you try to describe why the person died,
right,
the health department will go, no, this isn't one of our acceptable causes of death. And so you have to sort of come up with... Basically, you end up putting a heart attack because ultimately everyone does die of a heart attack or their heart because their heart stops. Well, everyone does write heart stops.
Oh.
But if you write aspiration pneumonia, the patient automatically becomes a coroner's case, and the poor family can't get on with the funeral, so they get delayed for like 3 weeks.
Why? Why does it automatically become a
because
coroner's
I
case?
Because I have no idea.
But you many never people, asked about that one?
Because it's sort of considered possible, you know, inattentiveness or, you know, malfeasance, something
oh, I
wrong,
see.
You know.
I see.
So it's crazy.
All right, so you just write heart attack to cover your trail because you're the angel of death over there at the hospital.
Good times.
You know what you don't hear about, Drew?
Huh?
Mercy killings. Mercy killings used to go on a lot.
Yeah.
They don't really seem to go on anymore.
Because it became a criminal act. People started really looking at those things.
No, I mean mercy killing in the criminal way. I'm talking about angel of death nurse that's smothering people with pillows,
yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind
yeah.
of stuff.
Right, because those people... started getting prosecuted.
Yeah.
Horribly. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but they've prosecuted murders throughout history and doesn't mean it slowed it down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like the devil's triangle in the 70s, the
yes.
mercy killing.
Good point. Yes. I'll give you that.
Dane?
Yeah?
Yeah, here's when I was...
put him on hold.
Yeah, I got to finish my thought, Drew. When I was 12, you know, I figured here's the ways I could feasibly die. Devil's triangle. Quicksand,
yes,
or mercy killing.
Yes.
I figure I had about 90% chance of going one of those three ways.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Dane?
Yeah?
What's up?
Sunday night I called and I wanted advice on like a relationship because I was in it for 2 years and she admitted that she was having a different relationship with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know what to do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
The riddle and like what happens if I go off and on it.
Right.
And I want to congratulate you on like giving me the help and stuff because I dumped her.
Yeah.
And I'm single now and I am on Ritalin. Like, I take 60 milligrams a day for every day. And so.
Good.
I want to congratulate you guys and thanks.
you enjoying the carefree bachelor lifestyle, Dane?
He's single now. Oh, yeah. Single now, have it.
15?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know it's tough. You wake up in the morning, you expect to hear her in the shower and smell the coffee brewing. But she's gone now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be late nights and you and your buddies and poker games and beer cans put in a pyramid shape. Yeah. Yeah, that's the single lifestyle, Dane.
Sure.
Don't worry. You'll love again, buddy.
Okay.
Possibly by the time you're 15 and a half.
All right.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Good times.
Good times.
Yeah. I like Dane. He got a little... He's getting philosophical about his life at 15.
He's congratulating us. Very nice.
Thank
Sir
you.
Walter Raleigh. Yeah.
Yes. Rebecca?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, first of all, Adam, I love you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And maybe someday we'll get married and...
I wouldn't count on it. It was probably about a 40% chance.
You and Rebecca getting married?
Yeah, maybe 45% chance.
She's right about in your wheelhouse age-wise. She's 14.
Well, here's the deal, Rebecca. I got to be honest with you. I'm now, you know, most guys, they get married, they stay married for 10 years, and then they marry someone who's 15, 20 years younger than they are. So I'm now scouting for my second wife, who's probably 13 or 14 right now. You see what I'm saying? By the time I get divorced in 2015, you'll just be, 28, 29 years old. Yeah, maybe 26. It's really going to work out for us, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so we won't get married, you know, in the next 3 or 4 years, but we'll get married about 15, 16 years from now, and I'm going to need you to keep your virginity.
Okay.
Okay? All right. The 15 years will pass in the blink of an eye.
Okay.
And you're going to need to learn to speak Japanese, too, because I think that's going to be the language of the future, Drew, and I'm too old to learn it.
Well, I only know Japanese slang.
You do. Well, that's a good start.
Rebecca.
Okay.
Anything else you needed?
Okay, well, I don't know if I should stay with my boyfriend or break up with him, because right now the only reason I'm with him is because I'm in love with his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Did that start before you got involved with him?
Right after he introduced me to him.
Hang on, so how long had you been with your current boyfriend before you became infatuated with his best friend?
A year and a half.
A year and a half.
And you're 14, huh?
Yeah, you started at 13. Maybe this is just your sort of emotions telling you you're done with your boyfriend, right? And what more sort of destructive way to make sure you end this relationship than to really start hooking up with his best friend? And what an awful thing to do, though.
And how long have you been into the best friend?
A year and a half.
Oh, wait a minute. You've been into the best... No, no, I'm with you. No, a year and a half. She's 14.
She was in... She was... Wait.
No. She's been in to the best friend...
No.
Shut up. She's been in to the best friend's... I mean, into her boyfriend's friend...
For a year and a half.
The day she met her boyfriend.
But I asked, how long had he been your boyfriend before you met the boyfriend? And she said, the best friend, and she said a year and a half. So you add those two together, you get 3 years.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case, though.
No.
Rebecca?
Huh?
Are you lost?
Yeah.
Okay. You have been with your boyfriend for a year and a half, yes? Yes. You have been in love with your boyfriend's best friend for a year and a half, yes? Yes. So you've known them both the same amount of time, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. And really, from the very beginning, you were into this other guy.
Well, right after you introduced me to him, yeah.
Which was...
Oh, I see. You weren't into him from before you were aware of his existence.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me get my scratch pad
out. Wait, you got
again,
that, Adam? I know it's hard for you to grasp.
All right. I got two pretty heavy concepts to wrestle with tonight. One is regarding air travel. Drew says different seats, different prices.
Yeah, that's it.
Slow down. And young Rebecca has now informed me that it's hard to be into somebody before you've met them or are aware that they're on the planet. But after she
stretch,
met them...
Then she was into them.
Okay, I see that.
All right.
So not from the beginning, but from the time after you met him.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is... How big a difference is there from the beginning than from that time? Is it like 15 seconds or does it not exist? About a week.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've been in love with you since sixth grade.
That's my girl.
Is Adam your boyfriend's best friend?
No.
Oh, okay.
His name is Adam.
I'd be in the ninth grade. Yeah. Okay, listen. Break up with this boyfriend of yours. It's been a year and a half. You're 14. You shouldn't have relationships that go on that long when you're 12, 13, 14
That's
years
right.
old anyway.
That's a good point.
I mean, that is your entire dating career.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And obviously not into her guy. And it's just so easy. Hey, aren't you attracted to sort of everybody you can have when you're 14 years old?
Especially when you're sort of locked into a relationship you need to get out of and don't know how to get out. She's probably been frustrated for quite a while. And, you know, this is sort of this feeling of desperation that builds up.
But aren't you attracted? Bless you, Drew. As a 14 or 15-year-old girl, aren't you just attracted to everyone you're not repulsed by? I mean, if you're a 14-year-old girl, right?
The guys are more that way, right?
No. I mean, you get a crush on, like, let me give an example. If you're a 14-year-old girl and you have some, like, gymnastics instructor who's a guy, and he's not, like, 45 and named Bela and have a bad comb over, and you're not repulsed by him, you'll probably end up having a crush on him at some point.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes. That's
not
too bad.
Thank you. Christina?
Yeah.
You're 19 years old?
Yeah, actually, I'm 17.
What's going on in the background there, Drew? Is that you or is that Christina?
This is me.
That's her background.
Oh, can you turn your goddamn radio down, please?
Turn down the radio. Record.
Oh, okay. But make sure you record.
Yeah.
Right. This is going to be great not to listen to one day.
Well, I know my boyfriend cheats on me a lot, but I don't know. I stay with him. I'm not really sure why, but...
What do you mean cheats? Is he having sex?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you really?
Yeah, girls, just recently, when a girl came over to my house because she and him had been having a relationship thing going on, and they fought, and she hates his guts. So she came to tell me that they had been sleeping together.
Oh, my God. Well, why do you put up with this guy?
I don't know. I don't really know. I mean...
Well, Adam asked the usual questions here.
Well, your dad. What kind of a-hole was he?
Yeah.
The biggest.
Okay. Shocking.
He wasn't really there, but...
You don't even know him anymore.
No, probably not.
Right.
So needing
the unavailable guy who actually also happens to be an a-hole, that fits dad's profile, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, he's really sweet sometimes, but...
Your dad or this boyfriend?
The boyfriend. I don't know my dad.
Yeah. Right. No. There's nothing... No. Listen. Axe murderers are sweet sometimes. They are.
Axe murderers. He's a lot like an axe murderer. He's really mean and really controlling, but then at certain times he's really nice, and I'm just like, Nick, I love you.
You're making your point for me, right?
Well, I just want to know what should I do about him cheating? I mean, because the girl, the last one.
Okay, let me be clear, Christina. Kay. Dump him. This is not a relationship. This is an acting out. This is a primitive pattern left in your brain, etched down by your dad. This created a sense of yourself in relations to men that you're now acting out. It's not good. It's very unhealthy for you. This guy's gonna give you an STD. He's gonna mistreat you. It's just a recipe for disaster. Have you got any STDs from this guy?
I don't think so. But I've been with him for a little over a year, so I haven't really gone to the doctor.
Do you have a good recipe for disaster? Because I have one for ambrosia salad.
And drama.
My grandmother gave me drama. And
well,
a light summer abuse,
me,
but
so I just think that he does.
Now listen, stupid head. What's going on inside that empty skull of yours? This guy's an a-hole. Now stop it, please. Let's move on. Move on.
And don't move on to another a-hole, or at least
just because your dad was an a-hole. Does that really mean now you have to help all the a-holes?
At least a-hole lights. You can get a little light action going from an a-hole.
You know what I'd
Not
like?
Not the heavy-duty a-hole like
I'd
this
like
guy.
To see you broads doing for a goddamn change.
Yeah?
Your dad, it's like the bigger the a-hole your dad was, the more sex you must give the a-hole population.
Yeah.
How about punishing the a-hole population?
Yeah. Here.
No, wait a minute, ladies.
I'm with you because we always get guys who are nice guys complaining about this exact thing, right? Why do the girls always go for the a-holes?
I want to have a call to C's.
C's
all,
candy?
All women. No, C, the letter C. I didn't want to say the word. But calling all C's. A call to C's. Drew, you spelling the word out?
Yeah, I got
the C word there?
Yeah.
I want you ladies out there, you ladies who don't know your dads, your ladies who are abused by your dads, who are mistreated and neglected by your dads, instead of going out and giving basically younger versions of your dad's threesomes and BJs and anal, why don't you go give sex to some guy who deserves it?
Yeah.
Some decent guy. Some guy who stayed in school. Some guy who reveres his mother. Some guy who pays his bills.
Well,
why not reward
right.
him
you.
With some goddamn sex?
Yeah. Here.
Jesus Christ. You women drive me nuts. You hate these guys. You hate them. You owe them. You know, these guys have ruined your life, and you repay them with oral. What a strategy, ladies. What a strategy. Meanwhile, these poor Poindexters are just crying themselves to sleep in a sea of tears and semen every night. Please.
Well,
now, think about that.
And Adam.
Yes. Think about that, ladies, and see what we can do to alter that. Could we please? Okay. Dr. Drew over there in D.C. I'm in L.A., and we'll be back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Just finished a Baby Ruth bar off, Drew.
Oh, nice. You're Mr. Baby Ruth now, huh?
Yeah, you know I'm just going to eat 170 of those until they're dead.
This is like your relationship with Count Chocula when you were growing up.
I did I nailed that Count Chocula right in the ass when I was growing up. I did a commercial for, this radio commercial for Baby Ruth,
mm-hmm.
and they brought over a toolbox with about 200 Baby Ruth bars in it. And Baby Ruth bars, I don't want to turn this into a commercial, Drew, but they got all the right components. They got the chocolate, and they got the nuts, and they got the caramel, and the nougat, and that's all you need. Don't outsmart yourself when it comes to candy, everyone who's listening who manufactures candy on a large-scale basis. Chocolate and nuts. That's the way to do it. Peanuts. Yeah. All right. Drew, what's happening? Drew's in Washington, D.C., by the way.
Yeah.
John?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yeah, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here we go.
All right. My question was... I had this ex-girlfriend that I was with quite a few years, and we broke up for a few years. And she called me. I hadn't seen her for quite a while, and she wanted to get together and kind of catch up on things. So we went out, And I could tell, you know, like, she was still attracted to me. She was real flirtatious and stuff. And we ended up going back to her apartment. And, like, you know, one thing led to another, some foreplay and stuff. And, like, when it came to the point where we were going to have sex, I totally lost my erection entirely. And,
has that ever happened before?
It's only happened, like, I mean, in my life, maybe a handful of times, but...
A handful of times. Okay, so it's happened before.
Right.
I like the way guys have to put a little PR spin on this one.
Well, I'd say, like...
Yeah, I mean, has it happened before? I mean, by the way, it's less damning if you say yes, because it really sounds like it happened once before,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's happened a handful... Well, just say yes, you idiots. The guy's a doctor. Do you understand? Stop wasting his time. And it's ironic that you say handful, because that's probably what you had in your hand trying to pump some life into that that flat tire you had between your legs, right?
Yeah, it wasn't coming back.
No, oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. It becomes someone else's.
Yeah, not only is it flaccid, but at normal, Drew, when you're 25 years old,
yeah,
and you're on your own, and let's just say in the presence of a half-naked woman, if you didn't have an erection, you surely could give yourself one in a matter of moments. Yes?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Right. But this is this never works that way when you become flaccid. And I don't know what that is, but you lose feeling in it. Is that what happened, Joe?
It's like you disconnect from it.
Right.
Well, I had an erection all the way up. I mean, like, well, this foreplay was going on, but it was
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Remember the part where I was asking about the... Losing feeling in your penis after it was flaccid?
Yep.
Yeah, is that what it was like? I know you once had an erection.
All right,
yeah, well,
all right, here's the deal, John. Let's get to the point. The point is that it, you know, these first outings can be very anxiety provoking, and they all, you know, all sorts of unpleasant anxiety can be aroused by this experience, and then the penis doesn't work when you're nervous.
Well, I don't understand what he's asking him, because this by his own count, this has happened probably 7, 8, 10 times in your life, John?
No, I'd say like maybe 3 times.
No, that's not really a handful.
Yeah.
Not when you're putting a positive spin on, it's not a handful. 3 times, and did those 3 times involve alcohol or drugs?
Yeah, I would say so, yes.
They did?
Yeah.
What drugs?
Well, not drugs, but usually like I was drunk, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, alcohol works against this the sexual arousal cycle. So
maybe your penis didn't want to get you back into this relationship.
Well, I did, you know, the reason I asked the question was because I had heard something about ephedrine at the time too. And
were you using ephedrine?
At the time, I was.
Oh, that'll shut you down big time.
It will. Oh,
absolutely.
Why? Why does it shut you down?
It's a stimulant. A certain stimulus can really... I mean, imagine just being super sped up. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like being super anxious. It's very difficult to get an erection when you're on stimulants.
What do you use that ephedrine for?
It's speed.
Yeah, but what do you use it for?
Therapeutically?
Yeah. Isn't that for... That's not for the bronchial stuff or
nasal
stuff?
No, that's pseudoephedrine. Ephedrine, it really has no therapeutic use. They use it to make speed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, he was just taking speed, basically?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. John.
Yeah.
You were just taking speed?
No, it was like thermogenic. You'd buy it like GNC or something, you know?
Yeah. What was your purpose in taking it?
Because it helps with training. I mean... It helps you to get through your training line. For me, it does anyway. It, like, gets you revved up, basically.
Oh, I see. All right. It gives you energy. Mm-hmm. Hey, Drew, you know, I heard once a report that said a cup of coffee before you work out is good. Opens things up.
It's good. It's not healthy. It'll improve your performance. It increases muscle tone. It can increase your actual ability to push more weight.
Right.
But it also may increase shear forces on blood pressure, raise your pulse and blood pressure, may be stressful to the heart, increase stroke risks. Not good.
But you can bench another 8 pounds?
Yeah,
okay.
Roughly 8 pounds.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Who's an extra?
All right, here we go. Norm.
Hello?
Norm.
Yeah.
You're 15 years old and your name Norm.
Yeah, it's a curse, my friend.
Yeah. Is there someone else in the family named Norm?
My dad.
Ooh.
There
I know.
Go.
I'm the fourth. Eesh.
Fourth, huh?
Maybe for comedic effect, we gotta find out what his last name is. Norman.
I don't want to say that in the air, but I guess I will.
Drew, what kind of brains are you using here?
Yeah, but think of the name. Forget it. What's going on?
Well, I don't know if I remember this dream that I had when I was little, that I was in Long Beach at the time, and we weren't living in a very secure place. But I remember it was like blue. It was like night, right? And I remember this guy. He had like a hooded mask on, you know.
Let me stop you for a second, Norm, and this is a general courtesy warning to almost everyone who tells us long-winded stories while stuff goes on in the background. I know me. Man, do I know me, and I know Drew, too, and we both fixate on what's going on in the background.
Yeah, it sounded like he was taking a wooden spoon and banging it against a pot.
Well, that's just the problem. We never know for sure in our minds because we're trying to occupy ourselves here, fixate on what's going on in the background and never hear the question.
Right.
So, what's going on in the background, Norm?
I'm sorry. I opened a lid. Opening and closing a lid.
Opening and closing. Just a screw top lid?
No, it's one of those things that latches.
Uh-huh.
Like a big sort of jar?
Like a mason jar?
Mason jar?
I guess.
Yeah, I'm hearing it. Do it again for us, please.
Okay, I'm going to put you up.
Yeah, he's flipping the thing up and then flipping it down again. Right.
Yeah, you got that?
All right, and is that where Grandpa Norm and Great Uncle Norm and Grandma Norm and Mama Norm and Nana Norm would put their preserves?
I guess. I don't know.
Okay, well, stop fiddling with that.
I'm sorry.
And tell us your story.
I mean, I like what you guys do on the show, but...
Thanks, buddy. Now, you had a dream.
All right, yeah. And it was like when I was 5 years old. I don't know if it was a dream or it was true, but like to this day... I'm always, whenever I hear a sound in the background at my house and I'm laying down on my bed, I always think it's like a robber and I have to get up and turn on the lights and then turn off the lights and then, like, sandwich my head between my pillows before I fall asleep.
So hey, that...
You know, were you that way, Adam, when you were a kid?
Sandwiching my head between the pillows or just sort of paranoid or whatever?
Yeah, it's paranoid, yeah.
Yeah, I was especially because my dad was... He's like the biggest pussy in North Hollywood, maybe the entire San Fernando Valley, possibly the greater Los Angeles area. I'm convinced a seagull could kick my dad's ass easily. Like a hurt seagull could beat the ass out of my dad. Okay? And I was convinced that my mom wouldn't get out of her room unless I had like a dime bag.
So I think you're making a point, which is that
I was kind of on the alert.
Yeah, if you don't feel secure either in your house or within your family system or protected, it's natural enough you feel sort of exposed. I mean, right now with this killer on the rampage there in Southern California, some guy drives up and drives off with a kid and kills her. Mm-hmm. I could see where kids would be nervous.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Does this one victim make a rampage?
And it was like a 4-year-old too.
Yeah, but you heard
that's just a ram.
Yeah, but listen, the
that's not a page.
Well, they're suggesting a rampage on the air. There's, you know, these guys are getting on going, he will strike again within the next 24 hours. This is his calling card.
Yeah. I don't know. The FBI guys seem to have a pretty good profile on this guy because they're making all kinds of announcements, and they never do.
Yeah.
They're talking about how this guy's going to strike again, how he needs to be stopped, how he's going to either be caught or he's going to kill himself in the next certain amount of time.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never heard so much prognosticating going on before, you know, after a crime. Usually it's like we're sifting through evidence. We don't want to rush to conclusions.
Think of how news now is structured. We have 400 different news talk shows that have to fill the time.
Right.
So they get a bunch of guys to come on and talk about this.
Right.
And, yeah, there you go.
I heard an interesting discussion or commercial or something on another radio station today talking about doing not a red alert, but basically the emergency broadcast system.
Yeah.
Which is if there's an earthquake or an airstrike or something like that, that it'll just cut in over the air. Well, that if a child is abducted, they have they're going to try to enact this broadcast system.
Hmm.
So meaning some kid gets picked up in San Diego, somebody notices it, mm-hmm. they phone the thing in, and all of a sudden every radio station in this Southern California is announcing, hey, the guy's in a beige sedan, and the guy's going this direction, and the girl looks like this. And
like
now
that.
It's gone out to everybody.
That's
simultaneously.
Awesome.
Now, everyone's on the freeways listening. Everyone's driving and listening. I mean, how fast are you going to catch this guy? How far are you going to get if every station puts this out simultaneously?
It's a great idea, isn't it?
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, it's a nice one, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, what I'd like to do it for our stations and affiliates and punch it up a little bit, you know, have fun with it.
Yeah? How would it go?
Well, you know, abduction's tough and it's a heartbreak, but try to work some comedy in.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, I could see you going for that.
Because I figure if I could entertain the people, they would, you know, they tend to listen more, you know? And maybe work in an advertisement like, yeah, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be here at the station keeping a vigil eye and drinking a Pepsi. You know, something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Norm?
Yeah. Baby Ruth. You worked Baby Ruth in there.
Yeah, I think you just did, Drew. So, Norm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think anything's wrong with you. This happens at 15. How about doing something like this? How about taking like a martial arts class or boxing class or
something like that? Some way to feel confident. Some way to feel like you can pretend, handle yourself. That's a great suggestion.
This is only in California because I live in Portland.
But Norm, look, yeah. Do you hear what Adam said? Take a self-defense class, like a boxing class or a martial arts class, so you really feel like you can handle yourself, so you won't feel so vulnerable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why not? I mean, it makes you at least feel like you're doing something.
Yeah.
All right. We got to go to break. But,
yeah.
Hey, John?
Yes.
That's who I wanted to talk to, too.
You
want to
know if I ever built the treehouse over at Dr. Drew's house? Drew's place?
If you'd ever gotten that finished.
Well, let me just tell you that my daughter every day now wants me to be sure to tell Adam. I forgot in the last couple of days to remind him that he's a liar and that she hates him and that she's going to call his girlfriend and talk to her about him.
Oh, my Lord. You don't want to get her in trouble now, right?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Is that why your wife quoted me the $4,500 ticket prize? Could that
probably
have been Paulina putting her up to that?
Maybe she's going to supplement the treehouse project with some of those funds.
Yeah. I think,
I would actually like to welcome you guys back to live air here in Detroit again.
Thank you.
Oh,
you guys have been gone for quite a while, and I'm glad they brought you back live, too.
Well, a good time.
Thank you very much, John.
You're welcome.
Good times. And I don't know, maybe I had a question. I don't know. Listen.
Let's just talk when we get back.
Unlike other shows that are aware of where they're on and when they're on, we're not. We have no idea. People welcome me back to places I didn't even know we were at. You know? And please take no offense to this, anybody from any city that I'm not aware of. I don't pay attention to you. That's fine.
Well, to be fair, you don't pay attention to anyone or anybody ever.
Well, it's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's just nothing, you know?
That's just you.
Well, I look at this show as talking to you, Drew, and talking to the listeners and then complaining. I don't really look at it as where we're on and who we're talking to.
Right.
And what affiliates and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think one's mind would start swimming if they were thinking about where they were on and who the affiliate was and all that kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong. We're glad to be wherever we are and would be happy to be more places. But I don't know where those places are, and I'm not sure how long we've been at any of them. Okay, Drew?
Yeah.
Except for a couple of places like Washington, D.C., Chicago, and San Diego, and Santa Barbara, and a few places like that.
Yeah.
Because I got to give them their props. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew, you know, I will build that treehouse for your kids.
Blah, 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 treehouse. Blah, 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 high school football.
Blah, 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 build the treehouse. But I've never been busier. I've never, ever been busier than I have been in the last 3 to 4 or 6 months or whatever.
That's what I tell my 9-year-old daughter. She understands that, too.
All right. But look, I'm working. I've worked all day Saturday, all day Sunday. I never have a goddamn day off. I can't do a goddamn thing. And I told you to go take some pictures of the area, because basically I can do this without showing up on the site. I can work this thing out. I can send my guy over there, and
we've actually been having there's a reality component to this, which we've been having fights over or disagreement over where it needs to be, and I think I've got everyone sold on where it should be now. So,
where's that? The neighbor's yard?
Yeah. How'd you know? It's actually on a hillside. I don't know how good that's going to work out, but
yeah. Well, listen, I don't guarantee my work. So if there's a quake and the kids go, that's fine. And by the way, speaking of quake, we need a nice quake around here.
I know. It's about time, isn't it?
Yeah. Listen, as I've said many times regarding earthquakes, the righteous have nothing to fear. Did I just hang up on somebody?
I'm afraid I did. I didn't know you'd potted them up.
Oh, who cares? Natalie?
Oh, yes. Hi.
You're 22. What's up?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great.
I want to thank you guys for doing some great work here.
Great.
Yeah, my ex-boyfriend is currently 23, and when he was 14, he developed this disease called Crohn's disease, which is basically an autoimmune disease.
It's a beautiful disease where your colon, your basically your gastrointestinal tract from your mouth to your anus starts getting inflamed. And it gets so inflamed that the walls of the colon and the small bowel start sticking together and forming fistulas, connections between the lumens, and even out to the external world.
Yeah.
Isn't it awful?
It's medically incurable. It's treatable, but not.
Well, it's tons of good treatment, but it's an awful condition.
Oh, right. Man. I mean, you're just blowing brown Kugel out of your ass every night.
But worse than that, your bowel behaves like a big abscess trying to get to the surface, basically.
Oh.
And it opens up. You can really start opening up from your abdominal wall.
Yeah. Oh, bad times. Oh, so what's up, Natalie?
So, yeah, so he developed this disease when he was 14. And around the same time, he was introduced to this religion called Christian Science.
Mm. He wasn't born into it.
No, he's not. His mom is Catholic. Mm. And he's currently 23 years old, and he's 5'9", and he's down to about 100 pounds. So basically, he's having a relapse. From my understanding is that after high school graduation, he really got into Christian Science and started reading about it. And apparently, during that time, his symptoms went away. So he became convinced that Christian Science healed his...
He prayed it away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's 5'9", and how much does he weigh?
Probably 100 pounds.
100 pounds.
He looks awfully anorexic.
Okay.
It's how difficult when people become superstitious like that. It's like it's the case of the superstitious pigeon. This is the behaviorist proved this a long time ago. They had these pigeons, and they trained them that if they pecked a certain way, that they would get a food drop down. Well, they started, instead of responding to the peck, started delivering the food randomly.
Yes.
And the pigeons developed all these elaborate rituals to try to get the food to come down, when in fact it was just completely random.
Yeah, and it's actually more, there are actually more issues than that.
Baseball players are the same, by the way.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, listen, here's the good news. The bad news is he's dying. The good news is he's going to a better place. Okay? I mean, what's he care? He's going to go sit in the lap of Christ. What's he care?
Why?
Why does he care? Why do all you religious nuts not want to die? Shouldn't you want to die? I mean, look at it this way, Drew. Hey, here's what I don't understand with all you religious wackos.
Well, they believe it.
You pussies, too. You retards, too. All you screwballs. Look at it this way. If you're not religious, that's all you got. But let's just say you're very religious, okay? You got your choice between earth, and you got your choice between heaven or wherever the hell you're going to, whatever, depending on whatever your whackball
wherever it is, but you're going for eternal happiness.
One place is obviously better than others. It's like, listen, you want to live in Canada or do you want to live in Mexico? Well, it's a simple answer. Which place is nicer? Okay, you like Canada better? Then go to Canada. Shouldn't it be just as simple as that? This is why I don't believe them, because they don't want to die. They should just kill themselves.
Well, killing yourself might prevent you from getting there, say.
Yeah, but, you know, I could fake God out. I could make it look like an accident. You know, fell asleep in the garage, car was running, I was fixing the catalytic converter, something, fell asleep, put a hose up my nose, you know. Yeah. I think I could fool God. I don't know, what is God, and how does that work? Does God have a corner?
God watches all, see?
Yeah.
See, he knows what's in your heart and your thoughts as you do these things.
Oh, that's different. I think
of all the other stuff he's already seen you thinking about.
That's true. So, Natalie, he's still a Christian Scientist?
Yeah, the person who introduced him to is actually his ex-girlfriend, and who was actually his high school piano teacher.
Okay, and he doesn't want to go. Okay, and that's
boy.
Why he found it's Christian Science. And what are you now? Are you his girlfriend?
No. He's my ex. I was his girlfriend for about 5 months, but we're broken up now.
All right. Well, listen.
Why are you so involved with him?
Yeah, let him die.
Well, I mean, he's still my friend, and we worked at the same place. So,
Drew, as a man of science, I know you're with me when I say I would like to see all Christian Scientists die of easily curable diseases. Wouldn't you? Isn't that the greatest joke of all? Wouldn't you just love to see that?
Unfortunately, there's a lot of that.
Good. Good. Adios. Next. And no problem with that. You want to be an idiot? Be an idiot. Your religion tells you can't seek the help of doctors? Good. So you die. You die from a toothache. Good. Yeah. Good luck.
That's
all right, so Natalie, you tell the nut job to go see a doctor, and if he won't do it, then he dies. That's
all
his
right.
business. Good. Listen. Let's clean house. You know what I'm saying? Sorry if we can knock off some of these nut jobs. What are they worried about? It's like, look, you don't want to see a doctor. Christ or Jesus or God or the Messiah is going to handle everything, so he kills you. All right, you took a gamble. It didn't work. But don't worry. You're in heaven now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drew, as a doctor, what do you think of these guys? Cutting into your business?
No, that's fine. That's fine. I have mixed feelings about it because I think people get too focused on, you know, getting fixed and taking pills and, you know, being a patient all the time.
Right. That's Judaism. Isn't it? Is that called Judaism?
That's what that's called, yeah.
Okay. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
At the, where are you, at HFS?
No, I'm at the Westwood One studio here.
Alrighty. And what do you got going tomorrow there, Drew?
I'm speaking at Georgetown Medical School, and I'm, running to some drug treatment centers and talking to people.
Hmm.
Yeah, good times.
Good times. I guess it'd be like if I traveled the country talking about carpentry.
No, it'd be more like cars. Because you've got to be kind of into it. And I'm doing Good Morning America at, 3 a.m. your time. That'll be nice.
I'll tell you, what time is it over there in D.C.? 2 o'clock?
2, yeah. So I'll be up at 5:30. 3 hours. 3 hours. Good time. Yeah.
I'll tell you, now, Drew, is it your medical training that sees you through this?
That's my experience, is that I got so used to not sleeping in residency that it's just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, but how come I've been doing this crap on and off now, this crazy schedule business, for like 5-6 years, and it's still just as horrible as it was the first day?
Oh, I didn't say it wasn't.
You're just saying you can be better at it.
I just tolerate it. Yeah, I'm trained at it. Trained to sort of suck it up.
Chicks can't do that. Go ahead. What the hell name is that?
Daria?
Yeah, hey.
Oh, okay. What's up? You're 20.
Yeah, this is my second time calling, but I'm still kind of freaked out. I got really drunk on the 4th of July to the point that I blacked out, and I don't remember anything. And the next day, my friends were telling me all the stuff I was doing, and I was like, well, why didn't you try and stop me? And they were like, well, you know you love the attention, and you know this is all the kind of crap you always pull. And I wanted to know if I'm being kind of snotty.
What did you do? What did you do?
I did strip teases. I gave a guy a blowjob in front of everybody.
And you're holding your friends accountable for this behavior?
No, I'm not. It's the fact that they sat back and laughed.
Where are you right now? In the bathroom?
I'm at work.
Oh.
No, I'm at work.
Are you talking on a speakerphone?
No, on a cell phone, sorry.
Oh, okay. They sat back. How do you know they sat back and laughed?
Well, it's what they said they did.
You don't remember it, though?
No.
You gave a guy BJ in front of how many people?
about 12.
About 12. And yeah. Your friends included?
Well, it was a guy I didn't know, yeah. But...
Right. How do you suggest they stop you? Would they, like, have to tie you up and throw you back to the
well,
car?
Well, hold on, Dr. Well, Sarcastic.
No, because...
Friends could intervene.
Adam, think about your jack-off friends just trying to take their car keys away from them when they're loaded on a bit, you know.
No, I knew you were going to say that, but my jack-off friends average about 215, 220 and could bench press you into the swimming pool if you try to do that kind of stuff. I mean, they get hostile, they get violent, and they're strong guys. I mean, you're liable to get an elbow into the bridge of your nose. If a girl can much more easily be subdued. Now, if she's going to start fighting, you know, that's a different story. But, you know, people
somebody that becomes that sort of, it's a mania they get into when they are drunk. And are that sort of detached from the circumstances of the reality, and they're blacked out, they can become extremely aggressive and typically are highly irritable and will be very difficult to slow down.
Agreed, but they're still 115 pounds.
All right. Yeah.
And one of the friends could have, you know, jumped in when the guy was pulling the schvants out and said, no, this is not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Now, keep in mind, the friends were probably lit up, too.
Yeah,
and I've had an ass full of Daria anyway, and just looked at it as, hey, this is her comeuppance. Because you do sound a little bit like a pain in the ass, Daria.
Well, and by the way, this is alcoholism. This is the deal with alcoholism. It creates consequences, and the consequences are what define the disease. And if you're ready to do something about this, you need to deal with that, your relationship with alcohol, not the people around you when you're intoxicated in this hypomanic state.
All right, so, Daria?
Yeah.
Stop drinking.
Yeah, and you may need treatment. This isn't going to stop. You cannot rely on other people to stop this behavior. That is ridiculous. Plus, you won't allow it.
As I've had a handful of friends that did this. And here's the thing, and I never understood it, so I'm gonna spell it out to everybody. Some people have a component in their brain that when they drink, they black out.
Well, now, alcoholic. That defines alcoholism, really. And some people...
But hold on, Drew. And I know you're an addiction medicine specialist, but as we all know, I'm smarter than you are.
Than everybody about everything. But let me just say, though, that the blackout gene or the blackout physiology is different than the acute reactions, the psychiatric reactions that some people get when they're in a blackout from alcohol. They can get severely depressed and try to kill themselves, or they can get manic and just go insane.
Right.
You had the insane friends, right?
Well, I had the insane friends, but hear me out here, Drew, because I had one friend in particular. This guy is not an alcoholic. Now, I know you're going to argue and get technical with me, but I'm saying the guy really wasn't a drinker. When he did drink, he blacked out, and when he blacked out, he literally woke up strapped down to a gurney in County USC because he, you know, defecated all over the coffee table, and his roommates like called the cops on him.
Is that actually what he did?
He one time he woke up strapped down to restraints in County USC, and ironically he attended USC, and he went nuts and started tearing apart his dorm room, and yes, defecating on the coffee table.
That's nice.
And then another time,
God,
I had the misfortune of going to Tijuana with this guy, and when we got back into San Diego, he went nuts again in a San Diego State dorm and just started tearing the place apart, running up and down and yelling about getting his brothers out of Tijuana. And we got to go back to Tijuana, and he grabbed his car keys. And I mean, he was completely blacked out, insane. And a lot of people are listening to this show. They confuse blacking out with passing out.
Yes.
Blacking out has nothing to do with passing out. I mean, blacking out... In my experience, you got more energy than when you're awake. Yeah. Because these guys, you cannot control these guys. They become like toddlers, but they have the strength of adults.
Yeah.
And they're running all over the place, and you can't track them down, and they're dangerous to themselves, and they're dangerous to other people, and they're picking fights, and they're driving, and they're completely out of control. And well, I've had this with a few people,
again,
and it's
dangerous.
You've
got two things going on. You've got somebody with an acute manic psychosis or acute, you know, toxic psychosis from alcohol and blacking out. And they tend to be separate things. But, yeah, you got both in this guy.
Oh. Thank God my good buddy Chris would really just go unconscious. He would hit the floor. he'd be running full speed, and he'd go unconscious while he was running full speed. And, I mean, in the middle of stride. I mean, with both feet off the ground, like running in a full sprint, and pow, he'd go right out. It was great. 210 pounds, this guy. We'd have to drag him back to the car and stuff him into the back seat.
Nice.
Jennifer?
Yes?
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
I found out 2 days ago that I had scarlet fever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to know about it. I don't really know much about it.
Well, it's the complications of a certain strep infection.
Yeah.
A certain streptococcus, and that strep strain is out there, and scarlet fever happens. It's just there's so many antibiotics, and strep is so sensitive to most antibiotics that you don't see a lot of scarlet fever anymore the way we used to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've seen a few cases of scarlet fever.
When was that a big killer? Didn't it used to kill people?
Sure. And there, you know, you get rheumatic fever and scarlet fever, all sorts of complications from strep that we don't see so much of anymore. That's it. You didn't go to the doctor soon enough is basically what that means.
Does it last for a long time or?
No, you're done, right? You're over it.
I don't know yet. I mean,
you still have fevers?
Yeah, on and off.
Are you on antibiotics?
Yeah, I just started yesterday.
All right. Well, it tends to get better very, very quickly.
Okay.
So you'll be fine.
Okay.
All right, baby.
Thank you.
Stop fretting.
I will.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Good times. Good times. Rebecca.
Hello.
You're 19.
Yeah. Can I ask Dr. Drew? Quick medical question first.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what some of the side effects of diet pills are, because I've had some, I think, weird reactions to it. I'm not sure, but and if it's possible to overdose, even though you take however many it says on the bottle.
What is this question? You're getting the vibe I'm getting here, Adam.
I'm just getting like, she's, you know, before you throw the aluminum can into the recycling bin, you step on it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm picturing with Rebecca, like like a crushed person. What's up, baby? She crying?
What happened? Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, what happened? What's going on?
I'm not feeling too well right now at all.
What's the matter?
Everything.
Well, let's
you're
give
19.
Dad, basically.
Like, you're 19. Why are you living with your parents? You got to get away from these guys.
I know. I'm moving out in like 2 months, but I was just trying to resolve some issues with them, but it didn't quite work out.
What is up with your dad?
Nothing. It's just some of the things. I mean, my dad's a good guy. Don't get me wrong. At least, like, he was there in my life supporting me and everything, but he just wasn't very nice when I was younger, and he replaces love with money a lot. And
Jesus Christ, I wish my parents would try that move. Just once. My parents replaced love with bad furniture.
What do you mean he wasn't? What do you mean he was there, wasn't there, but he was a good guy?
He was there, like, he buys me everything I want.
What did he do that wasn't so nice?
You're breaking my heart, baby. He's generous. He's there.
What did he do that wasn't so nice?
I don't know. When I was like 11, my parents told me. I mean, I know it's for my own benefits or whatever, but it kind of sucks when you're 11. Your parents are like, we think you need plastic surgery or something like that.
Really? Plastic surgery?
Well, it wasn't like serious. Just like they said, I had Dumbo ears.
Boob job. Dumbo ears. Hold on a second. Hoo-wee.
Yeah?
I don't know. I don't know. Dumbo ears? I mean, you could have misshapen ears, and it wouldn't be a bad idea to have them corrected. I'm wondering if she still does have those weird ears, but
you wonder if they actually said Dumbo ears.
No. Listen.
You know how that goes?
No, look, girls, especially because of their horrible wiring emotionally, just hear that, you know, the parents say, you know, you're not going out in that miniskirt, and that goes down, and according to the chick stenographer, is that daddy called me fat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right.
Adam?
Rebecca.
Trust me, when I was 13, my dad flat out said I needed to lose a few pounds. And when I was 12 and a half years old, my dad looked at me and said, if I looked the way you did, I'd be embarrassed to go outside in public because I had like a couple zits on my cheek.
All right.
Maybe it was how you were dressing.
At least he was trying to buy you, though. I mean, you got to appreciate the buying part. But listen, did you have the ear surgery?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
How old were you when you had the ear
11.
Surgery? Well, did you have, was there a cosmetic problem with your ears?
No, it just stuck out.
Well, I don't know. Is that such a bad thing for your parents to try to do that? I mean, listen, I don't want to say your dad's a saint. I'm sure he's an idiot.
I know what you're saying.
He's probably like an attorney or something, right?
No.
What's he do?
I'm not exactly sure, but he builds houses, but he's not the one that does it. Like, he sends companies that... stuff they need.
True. You know my theory about how yes. Chicks never know what their dads do for a living? They have no idea what their dads do.
That's the truth.
Except for the girls whose dads are in the mafia, except for it's not what they really do for a living, but they think they're contractors. Okay, the guy, they had plastic surgery paid for out of their pocket, I'm guessing, at 11 because they wanted to torture you or because you had a cosmetic problem that could have been corrected?
I think... my parents are more of perfectionists type of thing, and they block out all the bad. I don't know.
I mean, but here's what I guess what I'm asking, Rebecca, and I know I'm fixated on the ears. Did you have perfectly normal ears that did not require any surgery, and yet they found a surgeon to perform this procedure on an 11-year-old?
It was my mom's friend.
So she said, like, look, I know my kid really doesn't have a problem, but I'd like for you to do the surgery on their ears. I'll see you at the barbecue?
No, I mean, it's just the way they told me kind of hurt. It kind of stuck.
All right, where are we going with all this?
Here's where we're going, because I know, we're going nowhere. We're going nowhere fast, but I'm kind of like, we have to do a little detective work. I'm trying to figure out whether there was, like, wholesale abuse going on here, or everything that was put in front of Rebecca was looked at as abuse, even if maybe it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the force to have plastic surgery at age 11 sounds pretty horrific, and then you start sifting through the evidence, and you realize, well, maybe it's not so horrific. That's all I'm saying. And, Rebecca, you can still be in pain one way or the other. I don't want to take that away from you, but...
Did you have some other sort of horrible abuse perpetrated by someone other than your parents at a younger age?
No.
Did something happen to you growing up? Some sort of trauma? Something that sort of made you a victim and looked for victimization in everything?
I didn't have exactly the most normal life. But
why? What happened?
Anything that
what happened? What happened?
We were under the CIA's protection for a while because my dad did some nuts. I don't know exactly what it was involved with.
I was right about the mafia.
She knows this part in every detail, but I don't know. Quite what he does when he goes out in the morning.
Sammy the Bull Gravano's her dad. Hey, Rebecca?
Yeah?
Here's the deal, baby. Your parents are major league pains in the ass. Fine.
Maybe not, but...
I know. I don't think so either. But you're 19. Get out of the house.
I know.
Just get out.
I know.
You get away from your parents and you never have to see them again. Rebecca's a very wounded person and needs some therapy and needs time alone. And so far, the part about dad being there and throwing money at her and getting her some cosmetic surgery, it doesn't sound like wholesale abuse. I guarantee your parents were pains in the ass whose aren't. But let me say this to you, all you kids who can't stand your parents. Put your money where your mouth is. Get out. Get out of the house and don't talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
You hate these people so much. They're such horrible people. Why are you eating out of their fridge, watching their TV, and living under their roof? You hate them? Get out. They're bad people. Don't talk to them.
People just love that dance. All their whole sense of themselves, all their power, it all comes from that dance.
I understand they're your blood, but you know what? If they're truly bad people or truly abusive people, then you move out. And once a year, you see him for Christmas, and you hope you don't get drunk and say something you'll regret, and that's about it.
There you go.
Myra?
This is Myra, yeah.
Mira.
Mira. You're 18.
Yeah. Basically, I'm trying to figure out why guys can't commit to me.
What do you mean by commit?
Like, you know, an exclusive one-on-one relationship where there aren't other people involved.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Tell us more.
Well, it's like... It just, like, for example, it just happened to me again today. It's like I get into this relationship, and, well, I guess you can call it a relationship. You know, it's like dating. We go out. We do physical stuff, not necessarily all the way or anything, but, you know, we go out. We do physical stuff. We get along together great. We're having great fun together. We do well. And then, like, it gets to a point, and then it's like they can't commit to me. A couple weeks later, they have a new girlfriend.
Is this the kind of guy you're choosing to do this with, maybe? Because some guys just are not into relationship monogamy. But, at least at certain phases of their life.
Like, the one that happened to me today, I can believe that with him. Because he, said he already loves this girl, even though he just, hooked up with her yesterday.
Yeah.
So I can believe that on his part.
And he was telling you about that, huh?
We're on a thing called Live Journal.
What's that?
It's it's an internet community where you kind of post, like a diary type thing.
All right.
What?
And, we have access to each other's and everything.
Oh my
and so
God.
I saw his, and he's like all, and this is another thing that with him in particular is that he can never have a serious conversation to me, on the phone even. It has to be, on instant messaging or.
Are you sort of one of the guys? Or are you?
Wait a minute. This guy's got to be at least bi if he's posting his diary on the internet once a day. Possibly full gay. At least three-quarter gay.
I think he'd be very offended to hear that.
Well, listen, here's what I'm thinking. If a gay guy and a bi guy cranked out a kid, ass baby, three-quarters. It would be three-quarter gay? That's what I'm thinking of this guy.
An ass baby. Okay.
Straight guys shouldn't even be typing.
Yeah, but...
Forget about the internet and the posting of the diaries.
I might use that against him, but another guy like.
Hold on a second. Is Mira starting to get? You starting to get a little energy off of her?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A little anger, a little aggressiveness, a little something.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think she's kind of freaking these guys out a little bit. Mira.
Yeah.
Where's the energy coming from, baby? You're 18.
I'm a naturally kind of a. Hyper person.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not the type that's forcing people into relationships. I try to do exactly the opposite. In fact, I tried to end things with this guy before because I didn't want to get hurt when he went out with another girl because I got the feeling that he was never, never wanted to call us boyfriend and girlfriend. He never wanted to do that. So I'm well, why don't I just stop this before I get hurt? And then he's like, no, I really do care about you as more than a friend. Mm. I never said we'd never be boyfriend and girlfriend and all this stuff. So I'm like, okay.
I know. But listen to me, everybody. I did this when I was young, too, and all you guys do, too. If you say to somebody, oh, I'm fat, they'll go, no, you're not fat. And if you say, I'm tall, no, you're not that tall, I'm short. No, you're not that, they'll go the opposite. So if you say to someone, you're not really into me, you're just trying to have sex with me. No, I'm into you. I mean,
I never said that.
Listen. It's just like the guys we talked to, right, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
I told her, hey, I was into her, and she said that, if you word something the right way and hit somebody with it, they'll almost always agree with it just because they don't want to deal with it. And the truth hurts.
Yeah.
So, this guy ain't the guy for you. I worry about the guys you're choosing.
I think that's a lot of it. And then again, she may sort of give off messages that guys... don't correlate with monogamy. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know what I mean by that?
Yes. No.
She doesn't give off the sense that she could have a stable monogamous relationship, perhaps.
Right. She. I could feel some energy coming off of her. Let's Lindsay. Go real fast here, Drew. No. Lindsay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're 16?
Huh?
Oh, got another one. Mm. Right?
Molested?
No.
What age?
No.
Physically abused?
No.
Huh?
No, I wasn't.
But do you remember anything before age 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
No one ever, was ever rough with you physically?
No.
Oh, my God.
Where's your dad?
What?
Where's your dad?
He's in his room.
All right. And his room meaning his prison cell?
No, his room, meaning right above mine.
Oh, his room's above yours?
I live with my dad.
I see.
Where's your mom?
She has a house a town over.
And why aren't you living with her?
Well, my parents split when my sister was 18 months old.
Why aren't you living with her?
She wanted us, my brother, my sister, and I to stay with the house, my dad's house, And then she went off to Seattle or whatever and went back to school. And
so she just abandoned the family. Well, there we go.
Yeah,
wow.
Kinda.
When you were how old?
I was like 2.
Oh, my God.
Why did you say when your sister was 18 months old?
Well, I don't really remember exactly how old I was, but I remember my sister was 18 months old because that's how we talk about it.
Yeah, but how the F do we know how old your sister is?
But that's sort of the family lore, you know. Well, when your sister was 18 months, your mom just took off.
Oh, okay, but...
Yeah.
For some reason, no point of reference for us.
Yeah, I agree with it. It's interesting.
Okay, so Lindsay, your mom abandoned the family, which is kind of weird and kind of heavy.
Painful. Oh my God, horrible.
She moved over there, and then let's see here.
All right, hold on, Lindsay, hang on a second. Adam, this is going to take more than a quick one.
Really?
Yeah, we need a can opener here. So.
No.
Yes.
We're doing a quickie. I've been spending too much time on these calls. We gotta get moving.
All right, Lindsay. So what's your question?
No, hold on. I'm just saying when we come back, it's going to be fast.
Okay, all right.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, after this.
All right.
Hey, yo, Loveline. It's me. I'm Adam. That's Drew. And the phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Jeez, Adam, I was, they've got these TVs playing here all over the place at Westwood One in Washington, D.C., where I am, and one of them had Mad TV going, and, you know, they have these elaborate pieces, like 6-8 minute pieces with, you know, scenes from the biblical times and stuff, and had we not had our little experience together on, was that Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
I would never even have thought about it. Now I look at that and I go, oh, my God, how do they put that together every week?
Yeah, Drew came out, and as I mentioned yesterday on the air, helped us do a little man show bit. Once a year, somebody writes Drew into one of these man show bits, usually playing a doctor, which he has some difficulty with.
Well, it's even worse. I play myself, which is much more of a stretch.
Yeah, I remember, well, you know how my grandmother likes to be insulting when she speaks?
Yeah.
I remember a couple of months ago, she was, I guess it was a sitcom I did, or maybe it was a couple of years ago, where I was playing myself, and she'd...
Two guys, a girl, and a pizza parlor?
Yeah, she'd mentioned that it's not really acting, because you're playing yourself, so it doesn't really count. But anybody who's played themselves will tell you that it's even harder in many ways.
Yes.
You'd be much better off if someone just told you, look, here's who you are, and you could just go do it.
Right. I noticed that with the directors and stuff, they expect you to be able to do things easier. Just be yourself and do this. It's like, it's not coming out.
Yeah. It's weird, but it's very... how involved is that junk, Drew?
The doing those scenes for the man show?
Yes.
We had three lines each, maybe? A segment of maybe a minute of film?
Maybe.
We probably had to do 30 takes, would you say?
Well, you had to do 30.
No.
It the first time.
No. Remember this angle, that angle, that smoke, close the door, open the door. I mean, each little 30-second piece needed 30 different angles and takes. And
if people had any idea how much time and how much money is spent on that show, they'd be disgusted. They'd think it was the worst show on TV.
By the way, I had a little bit of that reaction when I walked in and seen at a soundstage, and they had built like a sitcom set, right? It's like a series of sets for this little piece.
Here's the thing, and then we're moving on to the calls. When it comes to the man show, I think people think it's sort of me and Jimmy with a six pack doing a public access
and a hand and your dad's video camera.
My dad has an 8-track player.
Yeah, okay. My mom's
video camera. Yes, and then when they show up, it's a compliment, but yet it's a little insulting too. They show up, they see a man show taping, or they do one of our bits, and they're like, "Whoa, you guys got dressing rooms? Whoa, look at this! Oh, there's security, there's audience warm up, there's blah blah blah." It's hugely involved, and that's why I'm so tired, and in such a bad mood every night.
Mm-hmm.
Preston?
No. Put that back on hold. We got to finish with Lindsay. Remember?
Yeah. Lindsay.
Hi.
Okay, so 16.
Mom took off when you were 2 or 3, and now what's happening?
Well, my question was, I've been going out with this guy for about 6 months, and we're really good together, and I really like him, and I've gone out with a bunch of other guys, and yeah. I think that I really care about this one, and I love him and stuff. But my question is, see, I've been having, like, fantasies and, like, dreams of me with other girls. I've never thought about any other guys but him since we've been going out, but...
Yeah.
I'm having...
All right, fantasies about girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
And I'm wondering what I should do.
Nothing. You're into this guy, fine, stay with him.
How old were you? Are you still a virgin?
No.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
14.
Hmm, how old was the guy?
14.
Okay.
He dumped me 2 days after.
Yeah. Right. Well, look, having had such severe abandonment in your childhood, it's gonna be difficult for you to have stable intimacies. And having fantasies, wanting to sabotage, becoming overly involved and preoccupied, and then becoming chaotic and rejecting, this is all what's going to happen. And if you're ready to do something about that, it's the kind of situation that's best served with a little bit of treatment. And it affects your brain development to have a parent leave you when you're a child. It just does, especially when it's mom.
Well, and listen here, too, all you child geniuses. I had a dream I was a pirate last night. What does that mean?
Did you really?
Sell the house, buy myself a nice clipper, and set sail for the open sea.
Did you really think about being a pirate? Usually when you are a pirate, you're like killing people, right? Or when you're having one of those kinds of dreams, are you killing people?
No, I wasn't killing anybody. I was trying to make it back to port, you know.
Did you have to pee?
I had to beat off.
You had to beat off.
I don't beat off at sea.
Yeah.
It's an old Corolla thing. Call it superstitious, call it what you will. You understand?
Yeah. Oh, I hear you. Yeah. I wouldn't call that superstitious.
Yeah, but Drew, let me ask you. Here's my point. I have a lot of stupid dreams on a nightly basis, and then I wake up and quickly dismiss them and move on.
That's right.
I don't think, well, I must pursue this because that was my dream. I was going down on a chick and she lifted her skirt and a penis fell out. Does that mean I got to go gay now, or does it mean I had a little too much red wine before I passed out?
Or even stupid fantasies you have during the day.
All day, every day.
Yeah, they're fantasies.
Absolutely.
James? Ooh, sleeping. Nice.
I don't know. Is that static or is that snoring?
James?
James, yes.
There we are.
James, yes.
James, okay, yes. Okay. You may speak now.
Okay. First, Adam, the airline is totally ripping you off, dude. Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, James, he's insisting on a certain seat and a certain kind of food and a certain entertainment system.
Wait a minute. A certain seat. My lucky international seat.
No, your business or first class seat, for one thing. And going business class internationally, that is expensive.
Well, here was the general premise, and this is the one you'd suggested, and everyone suggested, is, well, you just buy a coach class ticket, and then you use your mileage to upgrade.
Right.
Except for...
You can't do that.
No, and again, explain the mileage thing again. We get to do it on the flights and the dates that they want us to do it on and none other. How does that work?
That's it.
Is it really? Does that seem like a great system for the consumer? What about just all the effing mileage I've earned over the last 5 years? I can't just use that? Here's what I'm saying is, does it have value or not?
It does, but they're in control of it.
I gotta go. I want to go on a nationwide nut-kicking tour where I just kick everyone in the nuts.
Just everybody. Good times.
James?
All right.
Yeah, okay, right. What can you get me the ticket for, James?
I don't know. I think you need to get on your publicist and tell her to do things right.
Your publicist.
Okay, I'm going to call my publicist up and tell her to book me a flight to England in 6 weeks. Thanks, James. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I just started seeing this girl not a long time ago, about a week ago, and things have gone really well with her, and I really like this girl, and... The first time that we had the opportunity to be together, she immediately took me aside and said that she had contracted HPV from just a previous bad relationship. Now, from what
I understand, a bad relationship. A bad guy did that to her.
Yeah.
The guy probably didn't know he had it.
True. No, actually, according to her, he did know he had it and just didn't care.
Okay.
Because I guess she's spoken to other people he was with, whatever. Now, from what I understand, this was several years ago. She had the one outbreak, which is where she realized that she had it. No symptoms since then, and she had it diagnosed, and I didn't get into it too deep with her, but I guess it was a very low level, strain 1, 2, 3 area.
No, there is no such thing.
There isn't.
You're just talking about the abnormality of her cervix caused by the virus. That's what she's referring to. She's not referring to
1, 2, 3.
No, it's just the kind of cell type that they see. It has nothing to do with the virility of the organism that causes the herpes, the warts.
Well, listen, I put
him
on hold.
Can we finish it?
Would you shut up for a second? I'm just saying, I put him on hold. And you can speak to him on hold because his line was bad.
Okay. Fact is, having the wart or not having the wart doesn't matter. You're still contagious. There's probably more virus being produced when the warts are present, and they do proliferate, so it's important to get them controlled. But she has it. She'll probably have it for at least 5 years and maybe for the rest of her life. Some of the wart viruses do go away after a period of time, but we really can't predict. We don't know which warts those are going to be that are going to be the ones that go away.
Right.
In the meantime, she's contagious, and you could catch it. You probably already have it, frankly, if you're a sexually active young adult. About 30 to 50% of them do have it. It's not an unusual thing at all.
Oh, wait a minute.
And wearing a condom, does reduce the risk substantially.
The 30% does not make a probably, by the way. That makes a maybe.
All right,
and number two, it ain't 30 to 50%. I know you tell me that all the time, but Drew, stop before you argue here and realize who's right all the time just based on instinct.
Why would I argue about
my
that?
My instinct is never, ever wrong. If I hear something that doesn't sound right, this is one of them. And you got your 30 to 50%, but I'm telling you, I could walk through my man show office that has a whole bunch of 25-year-olds and tell everyone to drop their pants, and I'd find 5%.
So that's tops. What you think it's about? You think it's about 5 or 10%?
I got to sit down with my staff, and that means my penis, and put a number on it one of these days. But it is not 50% or 30% or 30 to 50%.
Nice.
It's lower. It's still a lot of people. Good enough. And here's the other thing, too, Drew. I know as a man of science, and as you know, I'm a man of God, and that's sometimes we clash that way.
Well, you're actually a man of the cloth, or the towel, I guess, really.
I'm a man of the whack bib.
The hamper, yeah.
Yes. You say that you're always contagious, and I know and we're not sure when you stop being contagious or if you stop being contagious or how it works. But here's what I want for our young callers: I want some practical advice. Wear a condom. If somebody hasn't had an outbreak in 4 years, I know you can't give them a clean bill of health. But
I think
say that there's less chance of spreading it?
Yes, I think that if the paps are clear and there's no evidence of activity, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so seeing how this isn't a death sentence for a guy, and he's really becoming involved or interested in somebody, and she got it some years ago and hasn't had any breakouts in quite some time, you know, I'm saying this may be a reasonable risk for him.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Hey, listen, at least it's a risk he knows. He's going to encounter plenty of other women out there that have the virus who either don't know it or don't tell him.
Good times. Preston?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to take a break here, buddy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. You're 17?
Yeah.
Your friend is trying to get you to do X?
Yeah.
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 Preston, I don't know if you got any extra brain cells to spare, buddy.
Well, I'm from Oklahoma. There ain't many to spare down here.
Yeah, but you don't really need them over there, do you?
No, probably not. We got to raise cows and crap like that.
Good time.
Yeah, yeah. All right, hold on a second there, Preston.
All right.
All right, we'll tell you why you should or shouldn't do the X after this. Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew over there in Washington, D.C. Look for him on Good Morning America tomorrow.
Good time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll be wide awake.
All right. Well, I, for one, will not be watching. Too early.
Mm.
Preston?
Oh, by the way, did you finish that whole man show bit?
Yeah, today.
Oh.
Another 10 hours.
Oh, my God. It's pretty funny.
Oh, it should be, but...
Can we tell him?
I don't think it's going to... Okay, basically, I decided to clone myself and use Dr. Drew. And now my evil twin is running around, and I'm getting him... Well, he's not really evil. I'm getting him to do the things I don't want to do and help
me out. Bidding. Yeah.
Yes. Preston?
Yeah.
But then you try to give him a blowjob, because after all, it's you.
Oh, Drew, why do you got to go there?
He has him give the blowjob.
Preston.
Yeah.
Your friend wants you to do X, smoke pot, and do all that kind of stuff.
No, I already smoke pot.
Okay, well, don't do the X. It makes you dumb.
Hey, and Adam?
Yeah.
That was a perfect idea earlier about just leaving home, but what happens if you leave home and your parents call the cops?
Well, I'm not talking
about...
We're
talking to a 19-year-old.
I'm not talking about running away and dropping out of high school. I'm talking about being 19 years old and ready to begin life on your own.
Well, I got 2 months, so I'm 18.
Well, yeah, but you're not 18 now.
When you're 18, then you just leave.
Okay.
Provided you can...
Support yourself.
Right. Okay.
That's a hard concept, Preston?
Preston,
wow.
It's kind of... What must it... You know... At 18, aren't you supposed to have some, or 17 as a male, aren't you supposed to have some semblance of a personality?
Yeah, some. Diana, 28.
Hey.
Hey, oh,
that's
what
I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Good times.
I love listening to your show.
Good times.
Actually,
man.
Everybody in our office listens to your show at night. You make the time go by faster.
What kind
Post
of
office?
What kind of office?
I'm sorry?
What kind of office?
We work for a general office for a trucking company.
Mm-hmm. And you're up there pulling the third shift?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. Everybody's laughing at me because I'm on the radio. But
Well, good times. And thanks for living. And at 10 and 2 o'clock, and keep the powder warm, dry, and the wheel on the road.
Yeah. Well, what I was calling about you made a comment earlier about how women can't do the no sleep thing.
Right.
And we
right.
wanted you to kind of explain your comment.
Well, Adam always says women can't rally. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. This is why women get paid less than men.
I mean, Did you say this last night or something?
No. I'm saying it right now.
I don't think I heard it tonight.
Well, you're tired yourself, Drew. But here's the God's honest about you women. You complain that you get paid 70 cents on the dollar, which I think is far too much, and that it's because of sexism and discrimination and that kind of stuff. The reality is women cannot rally like men. They don't have the rally. They can't go out and drink till 3:30 in the morning and then get up at 6 a.m. and swing a hammer in the July sun all day like every guy I work with. They can't do it. It's probably healthy that they can't do it. I've never been in a relationship with a chick, like any relationship I've ever been in. If we went out and tied one on that night, went to bed at 2:30, 3 in the morning, when the alarm went off at 7:15, she'd just roll over and slap and said, I'm just calling in sick. I can't hang.
They don't say it like audibly. It's like, oh, no, yeah. And they're just gone. They're dead. They're like, yeah, they are sick, right.
Yes, and that's true, not for every woman, but in general, women have that gene. And that's fine. It's probably healthier to have that gene, and it keeps you at home, and it makes you do more you have more responsible decision making, because every guy like I worked either in show business with now or before when I was in construction wouldn't think twice about rolling in at 3 a.m. on a weeknight loaded off his ass. It just meant, oh yeah, you get up, you have a cup of coffee, you go into work, and that's it. Women don't have the rally gene. They can't rally that way. That's why we build the skyscrapers, not because you guys are giving us the freedom to build the skyscrapers or we're holding you down. No, we're building the skyscrapers because we rally. That's it. What do you think it is? We all got together and had a meeting and flipped the coin, decided who was going to build the bridges, who was going to build the skyscrapers, who was going to build the supersonic fighters. It just all turned out to be guys. We had some meeting on this, or you guys can build a better supersonic fighter than we can. It's just we won't let you because we're jealous. No, you guys can't rally. We rally. We're guys. That's what we do. That's all right. That's fine. You get to live 10 years longer, and this is why, by the way, you live 10 years longer. Because I've gotten 5 hours sleep the last 5 nights combined, and that's why I'm going to die at 62, and that's why you guys are going to be doing a jig on my grave and driving my Jag around for another 25 years, because you called in sick. Drew, isn't this why we die?
I hear you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yes, thank you, brother.
Claire.
Hello.
Cool. Hey.
Hi, guys.
Hey, baby. What's going on?
Okay, so my question is, my boyfriend and I are living together now, and we're pretty far away from our parents and everything, and he's never really had a very good relationship with his parents. Well, okay, he's got bipolar syndrome.
Who does?
And,
Who has that?
My boyfriend.
Your boyfriend, okay. All
right. Right. So, and recently, you know, because we've moved and everything, his mom and dad have, like, seriously neglected us. I mean, my mom, you know, she calls, like, at least once a week, and they haven't even called. And if they do, it's about money and just about, I don't know, pretty nasty, right?
How far away are you from them?
About 3 hours.
Okay.
What's the question?
Okay, so I want to know, I think he's going to slip into a depression out of the, you know,
is he
on
his,
know,
is he taking his medication?
Reinforcement of his lack of love, huh?
Look, is he taking his medication?
No, he doesn't. We don't have the money.
All right. You have to go to some state-sponsored program. You have to get him on medication. People with bipolarity have exquisitely sensitive biology, and it doesn't take anything, frankly, to send them into a mania or a depression, but you add stress and you're increasing the likelihood that something like that's going to happen.
And she's sort of setting up a scenario where she can blame the parents for his slipping into something.
And this is not something that responds to therapy. This is something that needs medication to stabilize.
Okay, but anyway, Claire, don't worry so much about what his parents are making him do emotionally by not calling him.
Just
focus on him. And if you have issues with him, that's between you and him. Forget about the parents. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Well, there you have it, everybody.
Yeah.
Good times, Drew.
Good times indeed.
Where's your hotel?
Across the street from the station. It's awesome.
Oh, buddy, but we got to talk on the cell phone.
You know, I don't have my cell phone with me. I'm going to call you when I get back to my room.
You're breaking my heart, Drew.
I'll get you, buddy.
Okay, buddy. I'll be on my cell, all right?
All right, gotcha.
All right.
I know it's hard to go to sleep without a little nightcap.
Right. All right, sweet pea.
All right.
I'll be talking to you, and until then, I'll be thinking about you, all right?
I hope so.
All right, so until then...
You're scaring me now.
Well, it's going to take me at least 6 hours, and, well, by your wife's calculations, $3,000 to get to you. So until next time, this is Adam Kroller for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.